The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that Passover feast was a pretty big deal in those days. Christmas festivals seem to be a pretty big deal in our day. So for you, turn to your neighbour and say, what was the best thing and what was the worst thing about Christmas Day? Christmas festival so far. The best and the worst. Well, there was clearly some good things and some other things going on as well. I think Jean, our vicar, is not here today, but his first grandson was born on Christmas Day. So I am figuring that that's probably the best thing that's happened to the Degari family this Christmas. That's amazing. I guess for Joseph and Mary, perhaps losing Jesus at a festival was probably the thing that they would have shared today had they been here. But I wonder if you remember the furore in the media a few years ago when David Cameron left his daughter Nancy behind in a pub. They'd been having lunch with a group of people and they all went home without Nancy. Apparently she was in a loo. So I actually have a little similar experience of this. We used to go up to Westminster Bridge at New Year's Eve and meet with some friends, and of course there are thousands and thousands of people there. And I still remember the feeling when I realised that my 8-year-old son Greg was no longer in the party. That absolute sheer panic of how on earth am I ever going to find him? I did. Hurrah! However bad I felt about that, he wasn't the Messiah. I think for Joseph and Mary, the thought of losing the Messiah must have been quite something, mustn't it? But that does mean I have a little bit of empathy with Joseph and Mary and about carrying on quite happily with your party, not realising that that Jesus wasn't with them. And then that awful search. But it's the reconciliation point where the narrative of Greg and Nancy and then Jesus diverges. Can we not just hear, even 2,000 years later through the script, the sharpness of Mary's tone when she says, "Son, why have you treated us like this? We have been so anxious." And do we not also have our own sharp intake of breath at Jesus' apparently offhand response? Huh? What? Why were you anxious? Surely you knew I'd be in my father's house. But today, on the last Sunday of 2024, We're going to use this intriguing insight into the family life of Jesus to help us maybe reflect a little on our own lives and maybe find some inspiration for 2025. And I've just got three thoughts. I think the first is to acknowledge that life with Jesus can actually be quite different to what we thought it might look like. Life with Jesus can be quite different to what we might have hoped for. What was life like for Mary and Joseph? How tough do you think it was for them as they sought to parent this unusual child of theirs? One whom they couldn't quite understand, one whom stood out from the rest. And who, as a 12-year-old, sat and held his own with the teachers in the temple, seemingly unfazed about being separated from his family for 3 days, and then who answered in a rather sassy way when united. In the busyness of our life, as we become embroiled in day-to-day activities and pressures of just living, how easy can it be for us to forget Jesus? To become so bound up in our own thoughts, our behaviours, our family, our communities, that we can forget that once we thought him someone pretty special, someone we loved and wanted to spend time with. And sometimes we simply don't notice that we're not walking with him anymore. Or sometimes it's the life we find ourselves living is just not what we'd hoped for. The life that we lived with Jesus was going well, but then stuff happens or doesn't happen. And we can get knocked sideways and so discombobulated as we look around and say to ourselves, how did I end up here? Where is Jesus? Where on earth is Jesus in all of this? And perhaps we're in a situation we didn't really expect to be, believing we have been obedient to Jesus and good disciples, seeking to live life with him, but not knowing what the future looks like, and worse, not having the answers either. So my second thought is this. How might we respond to this unexpected life with Jesus? Joseph and Mary were brought face to face with their own bewilderment and reality as they were caught up in a narrative far bigger than one that they ever imagined. Mary treasured these things in her heart. I've said it before how much I love this phrase, and not just because it's my name, and when you find your name in the Bible, it's like nothing else. But how do we live with that which is really, really uncomfortable? That which we didn't expect, which we don't understand, and neither do we have the answers. How do we live in a society that has an opinion on everything? Judgments made within seconds and going viral on social media in response to situations and speeches from the great and the good. How do we live with the human instinct to want to make up our minds in a binary way, believing that surely we know best and that is the best way? How do we seek to live life with Jesus and respond to the unexpected, the uncomfortable, and the bewildering? I wonder if we could take inspiration from Mary. If we are able to take the steam out of some situations by holding them as Mary did. maybe by noticing what is going on around us, maybe not particularly understanding, but listening and observing both ourselves and others. And remembering that in the moment, almost certainly we do not have the whole perspective, which enables us to make a good judgment call on what is happening. I recently heard a definition of the gift of discernment. I'm not quoting it directly. It's about arriving at truth slowly, slowly and carefully, holding information in our hands and our hearts, and then getting more information over time so that we have a gradual, deeper understanding until finally enlightenment comes. That's not a short definition, but I do think it's a good one. That discernment is about arriving at the truth slowly and carefully, holding the information we have, but looking for more information before we make a judgment call. As we leave 2024 behind with all its happening, and as 2025 beckons, I wonder if we are able to be inspired to treasure the unexpected in our hearts, the unknown, waiting for fuller discernment to come. My third thought was this. Where was Jesus when Mary and Joseph were blithely making their way back home to Nazareth, enjoying the journey, sharing memories with friends and family, no doubt, looking forward to home? Where was Jesus? He was in his father's house, fulfilling his vocation. Where was Jesus when Joseph and Mary were charging around the streets of Jerusalem, frantically trying to find him? He was in his father's house, fulfilling his vocation. What did Jesus say when Mary clutched him to her, overwhelmed with relief and probably anger? Well, I was in my father's house, fulfilling my vocation. I had to be there. So, dear friends, Jesus is fulfilling his vocation today. He has never stopped. Indeed, he cannot be stopped. And just because we don't understand or always have his perspective does not mean that he is not doing what he does best. I wonder if I asked you, what does Jesus offer when he is fulfilling his vocation, when he's doing what he is called and meant to do? I came up with a few of my own. Jesus is offering an invite to humanity, to you and to me, into a life lived with him now and always. He offers a reconciliation and revelation of God's love to all, and yet one that can be received so personally. He offers to the human hearts a different way of life, a different way of being. He offers a freedom and forgiveness from all that ties us to the brokenness of the past. He offers us a purpose and a sense of belonging, as in some way he is drawing all things to himself, all things to himself. He offers a hope that can seep into every heart and mind, that Jesus is with us and he is for us. He offers a presence and a promise to be with us always. And so this is where the narrative of the Gregs and Nancys of this world, yours and mine, can rejoin that of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So that my prayer for you, for us all, for those members of this congregation who are not able to be here today, is that when the best of our problem-solving techniques don't yield the results we want, when our inability to understand or perceive what is going on around us seems endless, when the gap between our perspective and God's perspective seems too wide, my prayer is that we will just faithfully live out this life as best we can with Jesus, believing that he is in his Father's house, fulfilling his vocation, and that we are able in 2025 to gather up all of those things that bewilder us and that we don't understand and that we can't see the end of. We hold them and we treasure them in our hearts in as much as we think on. We look for the next bit of insight and information from God. We hold them and treasure them in our hearts until enlightenment comes. Until that day when we have just sang, we will call his name holy and we will know what that means for us to be able to call his name holy, and we will receive full enlightenment and full understanding. So, Lord Jesus, we want to believe you're in your Father's house. We want to believe that you are fulfilling your vocation and that you are drawing all things to yourself. And that somehow, in some incredible, wonderful way, we are part of that journey. Would you help us? Would you strengthen us? That we may not just leap to our own understanding, but we would hold that gap in perspective and understanding and trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who am I that the highest King? Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. He has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Yes, I am in my Father's. not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son.